This is the Average Guy Network, and you have found Home Gadget Geek show number 361, recorded on June 28th, 2018. Here on Home Gadget Geeks, we cover all the favorite tech gadgets that come into your home, news, reviews, product updates, and conversation, all for the average tech guy. I'm your host, Jim Cossett, broadcasting live from the Average Guy TV studios here. And I think, Mike, tomorrow 102 is what they're saying for, I don't know if you saw that.
I didn't see that, but now my day's ruined ahead of time.
102. And, you know, you think
and
that's
humid.
Hot. Oh, my God. A million percent humidity here in the Midwest. And it's going to be awful tomorrow. The good news, I think it cools down a little bit again on Saturday. But, of course, we post a show with world-class show notes, and there'll be a bunch. We've been writing the show notes in advance. With this new format, Mike, we kind of have to have the show notes ready in advance. And that's kind of been nice for me. So if you haven't gone out and checked out the show notes, head out to theaverageguy.tv. This one will be HGG, and then, or I'm sorry, this is theaverageguy.tv/, and then HGG361, or it's just the top one on the site if you want to go look at it. But I've been spending some time making sure there's pretty good show notes because we have to have them before the show. So go out and check them out. Don't forget, you can get our mobile app out. I've had way too much to drink already. Out at the average, it's going to be interesting. Out at homegadgetgeeks.com. And that, of course, you know, that app is the best way to stream or listen to us live when you're on the road. And we thank LastPass for their sponsorship of that. If you're listening on your iPhone, don't forget, subscribe, rate, and review. It's been years since we've had a review, so if you want to throw one out there, that'd be awesome. If you're listening on YouTube, you can subscribe and click the notification button. That's another great way to do that. And, of course, you can follow us on Spreaker. You'll get notified via email whenever we go live. Any of those things work. Last week, Dave Jackson filled in for you, Mike. Did a bang-up job. I don't know if you got a chance to listen, but he filled in nicely. So, but
good.
Welcome back.
Good. I'm glad you found someone. But yeah, thank you. Good to be back. I told you I have a little bit of a sore throat and I've had a cough and I'm just getting over the sickness. My whole family's sick currently. Mm-hmm. So I'm on the tail end, but I was like, I'm itching to get back behind the mic. So I'm glad to be here.
No, good to have you, Dave. Thanks for filling in. And we talked, I don't know what it was about Dave Jackson, but we could not get off the food conversation last week.
Foodies, huh?
Oh my gosh. It kept coming back to food. And you wouldn't think with another podcaster, I'd have so much trouble with the food, but we just kept coming back. A couple food topics tonight. So this is, you know, with the new format, we're doing conversation, news, reviews, product updates. That's kind of what we're doing. I say it in the title. We're kind of covering it that way. And so whatever you're throwing in Facebook, oftentimes we're talking about it. So if you're going to throw some food posts in there, well, we're probably going to talk about some food. Don't forget, there'll be some crypto updates in the post show. And so you can get those over on Patreon. Just go to theaverageguy.tv/Patreon. Head out to the site, theaverageguy.tv. There's a Patreon link there. Free for everybody. If you want to support the show, you can do that while you're out there. $1 gets you in, $1 a month. Not too expensive. And we appreciate your sponsorship. Mike and I will stay around a little bit. Some big changes going on at Burst. And some big changes going on in Jim's setup of Burst, thanks to Ken. So we'll talk about that here in the post show. Mike, it's been a busy week. Well, first of all, let me ask you, and you're away, family, some family issues, some of that kind of stuff. Any interesting things in the week, last week, we should have caught up on with you? Any tech items of any sort that you did?
No, I mean, I've got one big on order. So I was going through the process of trying to find out the best security system for the home, mm-hmm. wanted to figure something out. I posted out to you guys on Facebook actually after I'd already ordered it because I decided, so you guys probably saw it. So I decided on SimpliSafe, but we will save the conversation for that until it comes, if it comes. It was a very odd 19-piece new on eBay for $150, and that is on sale now on the website for $500 if you actually go to SimpliSafe. So could be a scam, could be nothing, but we'll see. If that actually shows up, I'll do my review at that point.
Okay. All right. We'll do that as well. You missed it while you were gone. I picked up a new TP-Link 24-port router or 24-port switch, really, for the house.
Nice.
Last week. Yeah. You know, I have 2 8-ports, and I just filled them up, and I had plugged one in. You know, I'd come out of one and gone right back in with the other. And I couldn't figure out why that wasn't working. I thought maybe I had, you know, ruined a switch.
Yeah.
The switch had gone bad, whatever. What I should have done, right, in this case is unplugged everything and see what falls to the floor. And if it falls to the floor, guess what? You got a loop. So I'd created a loop. The TP-Link was $89 at Home Depot, and I picked it up on my way home from church. I actually ordered it on my phone during church, which was awesome.
Very nice. How much did you say?
$89.
Not bad.
Yeah, okay. Normally, you'd find them for $99. Pretty standard switch, right?
There's just a dumb switch right now.
Unmanaged. Yeah, totally, okay. Totally unmanaged. Just, you know, it's one of those kind of, if you got a whole bunch of network connections in the house, it's just something you need. And, you know, it's kind of crazy. I love how these have terrible names, but it's a TL-SG1024D.
I think that's the exact model I have.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, yeah, love it. It's been working like a workhorse for me. I wish I had gone managed at one point, but they're just so expensive right now. And my next managed switch, I want PoE as well. And that's even more expensive. So yeah, those are great switches though. They just last and they do their job.
No, good average guy switch, right?
I mean, totally.
Going to put it in. So when I put it in, I think I'm only using the top row at this point. So 12 across, I might have one or two now because I was using two. So it was full because I was using two for the same thing, right? So all of a sudden that brings it down to 14. And so I've got 14 in there, 10 more to go, which is awesome to expand for some growth in there. So pick that up while you're gone. We talked a little bit about it last week, but a really good purchase to kind of get that network. Again, I'd been using 2 8 ports. And so I moved those 8 ports down, right? So I had some areas in the house where I was using some 4 port, just Belkin or whatever I had. And so I moved those 8 ports down and pulled those 4 ports in. Those are more handy to have in your to-go bag anyways, when you're on the road doing stuff, right? To have it. Do you have any, so you've got, you come down into your network downstairs. Is everything terminate there? Or do you have some spots where you had to take some routers out to some endpoint or switches out to some endpoint?
Yeah. So I've got the main one here and I think I've got 18 of the 24 filled up. And then I have one, I think a 5 or 8 port switch right behind my TV in my living room, you know, where the Xbox and the, I think my Philips Hue bridge, stuff like that, that needs to be up there is all plugged in. So there's an 8 port switch there. And then one in the attic that run, it's a PoE switch that runs the access point, the Ubiquiti access point, and then my PoE cameras that, so, cause I run all my cameras up into the attic because I live in a ranch style home. So it's real easy to just wire up, drill into the attic, go in there and then plug into a switch up there. Instead of running all new cable for every single new item, I just put a switch up there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't regret it. It's under $100 and it was a good purchase. I've been wanting to do it for a while. We talked about it with Dave last week. He wasn't that interested in it. So I thought, well, we'll bring it back this week. You might have a little more appreciation.
Oh, totally.
For it. Then he did a nice upgrade. Did the same thing. You know, I mount these things to the wall. I almost bought a rack. It's rack mountable and I'm getting enough things. It was like, maybe I should find that rack now. I didn't. Actually, that plastic strapping that you use for pipes, you know, that's got the little holes in it. It's gray. It's that stuff works great to just put it to the wall or pegboard in my case. Just put that up there, strap it down, screw it in. It holds it right to it. You got great access. It sits flat against the wall. Doesn't take up a lot of space. You know, my two network tuners, my modem, the switch. That actually Moro box, I have that mounted.
That's up there
flat,
too?
Yeah, flat to the wall. My Philips Hue hub, flat against the wall. It's just, it's kind of handy to just have all that stuff kind of up and out of the way and not right. getting in the way of things. So
I like to look at that too sometimes. Those wall mounts are kind of fun. I like it.
And it's got some pegboard sticking out. So all the network cables, like I got a section where all my extra network cables rolled up and put on pegs. That's kind of handy. You got a little tool carrier up there where you can put the screwdrivers and you know, all your specialty tools that you need when you're working on a computer or, you know, doing anything down here in the basement. All of those kind of in one area, which is kind of handy. The PCs sit on a shelf right below it. And I've got three big ones up top. And then right below it are the 14 hard drives. For burst in a little shelf, right? I bought one of those custom shelves where you can kind of set the levels. And so I only made a shelf about that big for all the hard drives.
Yeah, you bought that because you came over and you saw my rack and you were debating back and forth from getting a full rack or that. But that sounds to work a lot better for what you're doing right there.
Yeah, it has really worked nice. It actually sits just right behind the desk and the PCs are there and they plug into the monitors and they're super close and it's easy, especially with Burst. I've been, you know, you kind of have to finagle. I have so many things on a USB, you know, when you have 14 devices on USB, right? It's a little much, right? And even though it'll support 129, I think is the number or something ridiculous like that. That's actually not the truth. While in theory that works, I'm not sure I could add another hard drive to this Burst box. And, you know, when you stack up 14 different 8 terabyte USB 3 drives using USB 3 hubs and a USB 3, you know, extension card form, you'd think, oh, this is going to work great. No, it actually consumes most of the bandwidth because Burst is sending a note to all of them all at the same time and saying, hey, report back to me. And that just fills up the channel, right? But that sits right in front of me. So as I'm messing with it, I can kind of unplug it and plug it back in. So it's nice to have the PCs right there. I mean, they're literally right in front of me. I can't touch them, but it's pretty close. So it's handy to have them close.
I would agree. One, it's you and I are both huge fans of pegboard. Obviously, you can see behind me, I'm a huge fan of pegboard on my workbench, but also, so my rack was super cheap. I got it off Craigslist from a guy, and you could tell it was almost, I mean, it's extremely heavy, and it's a full height 72U, but they had taken it out of a bunch of racks that were together, so there's no sides to it. The side panels were taken off, and he didn't have the side panels. So what I do is actually I just made side panels out of pegboard and then I can hang like you just were talking about all your network tools, right? Like a crimping tool and your pliers, and I hang extra Ethernet cable right on the side. So if I'm on my rack and I'm doing something right on the side, there are all the tools I need. Love it. I mean, I just so many uses for pegboard. It's kind of an addiction at some point.
We can kind of see it behind you, but with, you know, I always like to have some masking tape, some colored tape, like that way you can label cables and those kinds of things, right? Good to have a little electrical tape that is there. It's good to have some needle nose pliers, you know,
some kind of RJ45 ends.
Yeah. Well, you crimp your own. I'm not that, adventurous. Some zip ties, you know, I have kind of a container that has all kinds of different size.
Zip ties.
Yeah. You got to have one of those.
Totally.
Yep. And
right
some
right here actually.
Okay. Yeah. Wait, I've got some, No, I think we have the exact
same container as zip ties. Everyone's got, you know, you got long ones in there, you got multicolor, you got short ones.
Yeah. Yep. And you don't buy that case anymore. You just replace it. Oh, I need some smaller zip ties. Right.
Right.
Go out and you get those. You got to have those kinds of things. I don't know. What else do you think? You know, I see a mallet that's maybe a little too strong for the computer area, but you know,
well, yeah. So this is the workbench. This is a full, right. This is my work. So over on the rack, I've got fish tape. So for fishing new wire between the wire, I got my fish tape over there. I've got my
Fish tape is handy, by the way. I don't have fish tape, but I should get some. Yeah.
You should. And then they've also got this attachment that if you finished off a wall, right, you're in a home that's, it's a finished area, you're trying to fish stuff, it's a magnet and it's this huge weight that's a magnet that you go up in your attic, you drop it down, and then you get this roller, and the roller is a magnet, so you can roll on your wall. It doesn't scratch your wall, but it finds it, and you can drag it down. So you can go into your main level and pull it. I don't have it. I borrowed it from a friend, but I want to buy one real bad. Yeah. And then I've got my Ethernet tester. So but when since I do crimp my own, well, I put one on one end, go down to the basement, put on the other, and make sure I did everything right. Yeah. So those are the tools I have on my pegboard over there.
That's cool. It's good to have those. I even leave some of them on my desk. I mean, I've got blue tape right now sitting
all
on my desk.
All the stuff you'll need, right?
Yeah, yeah, it shouldn't be here. It had a tennis ball in it for a while because I had plantar fasciitis from running. And I used the tape to hold the tennis ball, and each night I would grab the tennis ball, roll my foot out, you know, to kind of help with that. But blue tape or painter's tape is really handy when you're running tons of cable and you need to mark the ends for whatever reason, and you can put that on there and then easy removal. So
that's one thing I have not done that I need to. So all of my wires terminate at that patch panel. I still have not labeled where each one goes. I keep saying, oh, I would do that. You know, oh, I'll test them and I'll do it. It's been 2 years now and I haven't done it.
Do you have a labeler? I mean, are you a label guy in the set, you know, buying one of those maybe $40 label machines where you can.
We have one somewhere. Okay. I don't know where it is.
Yeah.
I've
always wanted to have one just on the desk to label things, make little white stickers or whatever that you put on stuff. And then every time I go to buy one, I go, nah, right. You know, I don't know. But another
Sharpie
good
tool. Tape works well, you know, enough.
Another good tool to have. I'll be honest. I'd labeled all those 8 terabyte hard drives. I had labeled them. This is what I labeled them with. And I intended it to be this in a Sharpie. And it was going to be temporary until I bought one of those labelers. And then I never bought the labeler.
That's how it goes.
Yeah. No. So a little bit of toolbox. We haven't talked about kind of the tech toolbox in a while, but good toolbox to have. So good stuff to have in your toolbox.
In your background, quick question. Do you have the OnHub back out?
Yeah. Actually, I took it down. The OnHub I took out to put the Bitdefender box in.
Gotcha. It looked like it was plugged in. It's not. Yeah,
so no.
It's retired, huh?
I don't know what I'm going to do with it. I should sell it.
You really should.
I know. Yeah, it's still pretty good. It's still a pretty good little router. The one thing I miss about the OnHub is the ability through the app to check my bandwidth. Bitdefender box doesn't have that in its app.
Really?
It's kind of disappointing. So, you know, you get to the show, bandwidth's not great. I could always check the app and say, oh, I wonder what's taking up all the bandwidth.
Right.
Well, this did that really, really well. I guess I was holding on to it just to make sure the Bitdefender box was going to work really well. The other thing I didn't like about it. Okay. So you notice with the cover off, look how big the section is, right? So you plug your cabling in there, the power goes in there, all those kinds of things. Then you slide this back on and look how small that gets. Yeah, like
all those cables out the back. And it's not going to look good either. You're going to have like all these different cables coming out of it.
Yeah, it kind of shoots out the back. And I know what they were shooting for. The other thing is the top here, there's a light right here in the very, very top that gives you the status of the router, right?
Right.
And then you put this lid on and it covers it up. Like I was like, what? You know, so it's a double whammy on this thing. This is, you know, I think this was the TP-Link version. Yeah, this is the TP-Link. There were two different versions of this when it came out. And I probably just showed a password or something like that when I did that. I did. What do you know? And, well, you know, they put the passwords on the router. Why wouldn't you?
No. Yeah. Yikes. Don't let anyone in your home now, Jim. It's unplugged.
But it just was a weird design, you know, yeah. And you're like,
if you're trying to sell it, you're not doing a very good job. I'll tell you that.
No, that's true.
I'm not.
You're not going to take it. Well, I'm being honest, man.
Yeah. No.
Being honest. The other thing I pulled in recently, I was going to hook it up to a TV down here because we're not using it yet, is the NVIDIA Shield. And I was going to bring it back to use more of it because my wife's just not using it yet, but I still have it. So I went to plug it into the TV, and this monitor that I have is an older monitor. It doesn't support the HDMI that this puts out, and I got to do some work to fix it. But
seriously,
it was weird. That. I know. It's super old. It's a Westinghouse, and it's super old. Maybe one of the first ones or an early HDMI version.
Wow.
Sure I could do something to fix it, but I was kind of thinking, why don't I just buy a 32-inch TV to put in here?
Yeah. Hey, there you go. Why not?
They're like $7, right? Yeah. I mean,
they're getting pretty cheap.
You can get an off-brand Insignia at Walmart, you know, $69.
Right.
And it was like, well, maybe it's time to replace this and make it a little man cave TV area kind of right here, you know. So I haven't pulled it off yet. We have a wedding coming up. My mom's coming to town next week. My mother-in-law is going to be here. We have a whole bunch of expenses. So I've kind of been holding off. But I really like the NVIDIA Shield. I just need to use it a little more. So it's sitting back here. It's sitting back here as well. I need to do something with it. Mike, just a quick reminder for those listening. I sat down with Christian last Tuesday, and I think we're set now for every other Tuesday for the most part. But Cyber Frontiers 45, if you're interested in AI and machine learning, and he even kind of ties it in with what's going on with the Internet of Things. Christian comes in, not rare work because he always does really good work. But if you want to kind of catch up on these buzzwords of AI and machine learning, everybody's saying them now. You know, you drive your car and they're like, Ford is like, oh, it's powered by AI and machine learning.
Right.
No, that's not the truth. Christian kind of explains it. So if you haven't subscribed over there at Cyber Frontiers, you might want to do that. 45 is out. Kevin Schoonover dropped in the Facebook group this week. He has a new tech gadget that's arrived. He did the pre-order on the Anova Nano, which is one of those, you know, those sous vide, right? Sous vide, sous vide.
I don't know how to say it. Yeah, I don't know how to say it.
It's one of those precision cookers. Let's just put it that way. Again, I said we'd mention we would probably mention food again. They call it a precision cooker. Basically, you just put it in hot water and you bring the temperature of whatever you want to do up precision. Those are available now for $99. I might try one of these. I got in a situation this last weekend where we were, you know, normally I buy steaks to grill or I buy chicken to grill or pork chops. And I do that pretty well, but we bought some steak and we cubed it because we were going to make hobo stew. Have you ever made hobo stew where you cut the meat, cut the vegetables, throw it in tin foil, wrap it up and just throw it on the grill, you know, throw some
butter in there. Never done it.
It's super cool. It's like individual stew packets, right?
Okay.
So we made some hobo stew, but you can't control the temperature really well. And that meat's in cubes. So it cooks super fast. In fact, sometimes faster than the vegetables. And I almost would have preferred to be able to bring for cubed meat like this, bring it up to the temperature I want it, you know, 155, 160, whatever, and then just do a quick flash brown on the, you know, so cook the vegetables in the tin foil. But that's where these come in really, really handy because you can get your food to the exact temperature you need using the technology that's built into these things. And here, I'll show it. Let me just show it. Yeah, for most of you, we've had Ryan Parker on the program. He has talked about this. He has talked about these devices. Mike, have you thought about getting one of these?
Every time we have him on the show, I've thought about getting one. And then when it was posted in the Facebook group, I thought about it again. But I'm still trying to master my smoker and focus on that. I can't add another technology gadget to my kitchen yet.
Yeah, Mark Robson, yeah, there we go, talks about that quite a bit when he's on. He's mentioned those as well. And so nothing new, but Kevin had thrown that in the Facebook group. If he had kind of, what I found kind of interesting, he'd forgot he'd ordered it. It was a Kickstarter.
And didn't he have another one that came before that? Is that what he said?
Maybe so.
Something like that.
Maybe so. But yeah, you got to be careful with those Kickstarters. Ken just reminded me, for some reason, I keep wanting to put Cyber Frontiers on Tuesdays. I do not know why. It's actually Monday nights. So not this Monday, but next will be live. Monday nights. You're right, Ken, for Cyber Frontiers. Schoonover is also really good about throwing out computer deals. And he watches the deals over at Woot. So if you go to computers.woot.com, he'd actually thrown out an Intel NUC Core i3 4 gig, 128 gig SSD. $170. It's sold out, so you can't go out there and get it now. Those things sell out pretty fast. But Mike, I wanted to say, handy for you when you think about these kind of small, inexpensive, fairly powerful. Core i3 is not bad. Is this something? Does it interest you to have kind of these utility PCs that you could just use from time to time?
What I like about those is if I was helping someone install, if someone wanted to build their own security system, camera security system, I would use one of these as the NVR, essentially. Super cheap. On that deal, because what was it, 150?
169,
exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, you get a machine like that, the i3 is more than powerful enough to do probably a bunch of cameras. I bet you could get between 7 and 10 cameras on there at HD streams. And I would love those. And the thing I like about how small they are is a lot of people want to plug their NVR into their television so they can just switch inputs real quick and see the cameras right away. So you could tuck one of those away. You could even mount it to the back of the television and be fine. I think they're perfect for that. That was my one use case where I thought, you know, if I was going to grab one of those or if I was setting one up, I would have grabbed one on three cameras. Each of these is, you know, $200-$300. So I think people are starting to do that. So that was my initial thought. I got really excited when I saw those. They're perfect machines for that.
Yeah. I think if you got the cash and deals come around and you don't have kind of a spare PC, this is really nice to have something to just mess with.
Yeah.
Jump on the fast ring on Windows 10, set up for an extra camera or not an extra camera, but a PC to kind of be your home security, right? To do various things with. I have found I get that Kangaroo and it's just helpful.
It's yeah. It runs this machine right above the monitor here. Yeah. I can view all my cameras and some extra stuff, have an extra PC to plug into.
Yeah. Super helpful. If you're, and this is the deals, like this is where I appreciate Kevin and others who post those deals out there in our chat room. So if you're, If you're on Facebook, facebook.com/groups/theaverageguy gets you there. And in those deals, they don't last very long, but if you're ready to do that, Kevin's really good about watching those things. So another advantage of being in that group. Last thing, Mike, which I found interesting, again, maybe not food related, but grill related for sure. And I thought this is kind of cool because it's a grill robot, right? So we've got the ability. I don't know if you saw one of these, but basically you set it for a certain amount of time. It's got, for those listening on audio, it's got three brush handles that sit in a triangle. And you can set this robot, so to speak. That's probably too strong of a term, I think, robot, because it really just spins and knocks against the walls, right, of the grill. But those brushes spin, and you can just close the lid, and then it will run for a certain time period and clean your grill automatically, which I thought was pretty cool. $90, Mike, enticing at all to have the grill bot, automatic grill
cleaner? Yeah, so the idea of it is, right, like the idea of an automatic cleaner, but I mean, I've seen my cleaning utensils after just one use, and I've seen how much effort I have to put in to clean the grates, and I'm just looking at this tiny little thing. I'm like, those little brushes are gonna be filled with just gunk after one run, and I don't know how it's gonna have enough power and enough downward force to really get that stuff and clean it off.
Yeah, well,
do you think it would?
You know, I have to turn my heat on. You know, I have to turn the grill on, and I'm not sure I'd put a robot on the grill unheated, like, because the heat helps separate that stuff from the from the grill.
Yeah, on my smoker, like before I clean, I just turn it up to like the highest temperature and let it run for a little bit, and really just char a lot of the stuff in there, and it's a little bit easier to scrape off.
I actually scrape and then bang on it, and it drops down in, right, and good enough, but.
Mark Robson said that's how, for some reason, it's losing a little bit of the flavor, which that was interesting. I hadn't thought about that. A little bit of the seasoning comes off.
Somebody also said, using wood to clean is better than using, brush to clean. And
I can see that.
And they do make a nylon version for the brushes. If you didn't want to use metal for whatever reason, you could get nylon. I thought it was an interesting run at technology for grill cleaning, right?
Yes,
totally. I'm not sure it's there. Definitely not sure it's worth the $90. It's on Amazon. If you want to pick it up, we'll have the link in the show notes to be able to get that. But I don't know, Mike. This is one of those kind of things where you're like, do we have a robot just to have a robot?
Yes, we do.
Yeah, we do indeed. So you can check that out as well. We'll have the correct link. The one in the show notes isn't working for me now, but I think we'll fix that. We'll render that useful and make that available to you in the show notes here by the time you get out there. Actually, Mike, because you're probably, did you see that, Mike? You saw it on my screen, I imagine. But
yes, I did.
Won't work in the show notes. So we'll see if we can get that replaced. Okay, one more home kind of tech item. Last week, my wife came down and said, hey, the dryer's not working. And she's like, I push the button and it comes on, but it won't stay on. And, so you start kind of thinking, okay, well, maybe this is a switch. So I immediately started watching YouTube videos. And man, I tell you what, I need to learn that lesson that I need to watch about 30 minutes of videos before I do anything. Like before I start taking things apart or before I try to start fixing things. Like you need to learn in advance, right? It's kind of like, okay, what am I getting myself into? Because I had trouble taking the thing apart. And then, this guy, I watched a video and the guy's like, oh yeah, you just grab it here and it comes right off. Sure enough, you grab it right there. And the cement corners, it just pops off. And there's, some little tricks.
Yeah.
The control panel out. And I got my multimeter out. Man, God, it's been years since I've been testing switches and so I went through it all only to find out that I think the computer board, there's a little Arduino style, right? A little Raspberry Pi size. It's 18 years old. So it's none of those things. And it's a bunch of diodes and resistors. It's super old, right? But there's still a little computer board in there that controls everything. Everything is leading to that being bad. And you're thinking, oh my God, where am I going to find a board that's 18 years old?
No kidding.
eBay.
You did find one.
I did find one.
Really? 70,
yeah, for $70. And they take returns. So, because I almost was like, well, maybe we should just buy a new dryer. I mean, at this point, right? 18 years old, the elements are getting old, right? I talk with Sarah and she's like, I don't want a new dryer. By the way, that's an amazing statement, right? All in itself. No, totally. Can't you just fix that one? I don't want a new dryer.
Oh, and okay.
All right. Well, I'll spend $70 on a board. So I'm hoping it'll be here Tuesday. I'm hoping just swapping out the motherboard, so to speak, on this thing. It is really literally four connections that just unplug, just like it looks like a motherboard, like on your computer. There's just some boom, boom, boom. There's a little speaker on it where it makes noise. You know, it makes the bell sounds when you're doing certain things. Just swap it, plug it back in, and hopefully that fixes it. If it doesn't, I'll send it back, and we'll buy a new dryer, right? I think at that point, if that's not the problem, I'm not going to troubleshoot it anymore. Mike, what kind of things, when you think about the tech stuff like that, because I was super intimidated at first. I'm like, oh man, it's been a long time since I've done a dryer. Any things like that at your house that you're surprised by how easy it is to fix, or you're just not going to touch? Get any of those items?
So the one I was surprised when we first moved into our house, our freezer. So we have the doors closed together. It's two sides, the freezer on the left, refrigerator on the right. And the water and ice dispenser is in the freezer side, and it wasn't working. I was surprised. So the ice wasn't working, and then the ice maker wasn't working as well. So I looked online to see, okay, how does this thing come apart? And I realized you could just pull the face of it right off, and everything was accessible there. Turned out it was actually nothing electrical. It was a plastic piece that tapped that told it to dispense ice had snapped off. So the lever just wasn't doing it. I jerry-rigged I taped up something so it would hit the button, and it's worked for the last 2 years, and you wouldn't notice anything different. And then the part of the ice maker was the eye sensor that tells it, hey, the ice level's back up to the top, don't make any more ice, was broken. So it constantly thought that it was already full of ice, so it wasn't boiling. That took a new board, but that was also another easy installation. Ordered it, again, like you did, off eBay, found it, put it in, and so I, like you just said, I think the key is going on YouTube first and seeing what you're in for. Cause that's what I did. I YouTube the fridge repair, the ice dispenser. And then it kind of walked you through. I was like, okay, well, I can always pop the front off. And if I look at it and it's nothing easy, I'll put it right back on. So refrigerator, yes, fix. If it's going to be anything with the air conditioner or the water heater, I don't like to mess with those, just because they're more complicated than you think. Yeah. You think it's a pretty simple machine. There's a reason the HVAC guys are trained to do that. Although I did install the Ecobee, which requires rewiring down in the HVAC unit, but the instructions were clear enough from Ecobee. They do a well enough job on the video that I felt comfortable doing it. And it was just like rewiring anything else. You know, it was unscrewing, rewiring to, and rerouting stuff. So that wasn't that bad, but I like to leave that to the professionals. And I'm trying to think of anything else. My car, I love to put to work on.
If dude, I can see that's, I don't, no cars. I okay. am, nope, not anymore. I had an 88 Civic, Honda Civic I'd mess with, but some of my older cars, yes, not the new ones. Just not, I don't know. I won't, there's so much technology in them.
Right.
Yeah, that, although you and I way long ago, we talked about one of those diagnostic collection Bluetooth connection devices. Yeah, and I forget what it's called. Slap it in the car. You can run an app. It's maybe $10 and you can run some diagnostics on the car.
I gave you mine, didn't I?
I do. It's still sitting in my car.
Yep.
Yeah. I should probably take it out or get rid of it or whatever. I'm not sure with the heat and the cold, if it's even working anymore.
Who knows?
Yeah, but you can kind of run some of those diagnostics. I'm super spoiled. My oldest son is a mechanic. Works for Midas here in town. So if we something wrong with the car, in fact, I've tried fixing things. He's like, Dad, bring it in. Okay. Don't fix your car. Just bring it in. Let the pros take care of it.
Well, the hard part now too is the electronics, and they're making that front end so short and everything so compact, you can barely get a wrench in there. You have to have like specialty tools to get a wrench down and even to get into anything, is what I've noticed. But John in the chat says, with YouTube, everyone can work on their cars. It's totally true, because I am not a car guy. I'll say that. Like, I am not inclined, I'm not great with motors. My brother-in-law is, thank goodness. So kind of like you have that connection, I go to him. But if I can find a YouTube video on it or anything, I will try and work on the car. So I will attempt to fix that first. And then really anything else, I'll give it a shot. There's not too much I'm scared to touch. I don't like electrical. actual electrical, right? Like I'll run Ethernet wires and I'll do networking and some of that, but anything electrical, I don't touch. No.
See, that's different for me. I did that in the military, so I'm super comfortable with it. Like,
well, you can come down and fix these lights in my basement.
I should come down and take a peek at them.
Yeah.
For you. I did a lot of that kind of work. Isn't it funny how there's certain things that we're kind of comfortable with and certain things we're not? Both Mike and John are saying in the chat, they've replaced hot water heaters. It's easy. It's easier than you think. And
yeah, see, I wouldn't even thought about that. I'd be like, nah, it sounds.
Yeah. No, not interested. But it is. I imagine if I was in a pinch and I needed to, I would watch YouTube for it. And I would be like, okay, here we go. I'm also a big fan of switching from, you know, we have a tank, you know, a big 40 gallon tank. And I'd really like to go to the tankless and have those where, you know, it's on demand, just sits in the house. We won't do that here because we're going to move. But I think in the next place, I may really think about when I have to replace the hot water heater going tankless. And it's more efficient. You're not storing hot water all the time. It's easier. Actually, it's not easier to install, but it makes more sense to me than a big old hot water heater.
Right.
So I don't know. It's just.
Yeah, and besides fixing things too, I've been really into building things with wood. I think we've talked about this in the past, but I've got my big miter saw, table saw over here. I've got all my saws down here. I love coming down here. I love grabbing some wood and making something. This bench is actually fun to make. There's this company called 2x4 Basics. I think we've talked about them already, but all they give you are the, like, okay, so I know for people on the audio, I'm doing a terrible job explaining this. There are the four legs to a table that are made of plastic, and they have... The way it works is you really don't have to make too many angle cuts with your wood, but they have this for sheds and for tables, but you still get to have the fun of, you know, building it out of wood and actually building it up. I've been liking that, building flower planters and tables, and I've been just having a ton of fun trying to get into that. So overall, just becoming more handy, especially at my age, I'm like, okay, you know, because by the time I'm older, I want to know some things, right? Like you always go to your grandpa and he just knows how to do everything. Yeah. He just knows how to use every tool and how to fix stuff. I'm like, I need to start working on that.
Well, I'll feel pretty accomplished if this board comes in and I swap it and it works. I'm going to feel pretty good. If it doesn't work, well, we'll chalk it up to that. And we'll call it good. Always interested. We don't spend a lot of time about talking about fixing the electronics that are in your house.
Right.
They continue to get more and more and more complicated. And it's one of those kinds of
non-accessible to fix, right? Like these things are glued shut. There's no longer screws. Like everything's glued and you can't even get to it to fix it if you want to.
I bought a new fridge for the downstairs. You know, when I was trying to justify crypto, mining crypto, we had two really inefficient fridges. So I got rid of them and bought a $600, you know, bottom of the line, it's just a beer fridge. That's all it is. It's a freezer on the top for the ice cream and beer in the bottom, right? That's all we use it for. And I'm not sure I'd take that thing apart. Like it for $600, you know, you're kind of like, if it gets me 10 or 15 years and it goes, I'm not sure I'm going to spend a ton of time trying to fix that thing. One, it's like you said, it's all glued together, you know, everything's sealed.
Right.
And so it's just, I don't know. It's just one of those kinds of things anymore. It's like my car. I'm just not going to try and fix it. But everybody has their comfort levels. I thought that'd be a great question to ask tonight. It's like, what do you like to fix? What are your comfort levels? What are you good at? I think in some of the things you and I like, other people hate them. John says he doesn't do woodwork. You know, he doesn't like to do that. I love to do that as well. I kind of love to get out there and get that done. So if you got a comment on that, you want to tell me what you like to fix or you got an unusual fixing story, something that you didn't think you could fix that you actually did, send me an email, jim@theaverageguy.tv. We'll try to read it next week on the show. Speaking of things that they thought they had, but they didn't have fixed, real quick in the news section here, if you haven't been following what's going on with Redstone 5 and Windows, that's the most current version, you're on the fast ring, you have Redstone 5. Microsoft's been working on sets, right? The idea of being able to have one application window open and have multiple applications in it. So you might have an Edge up, you might have the File Explorer up, you might have Notepad up, you might have your browser all in the same window. They're all tabbed today, right? Tabs only work across like applications. I'm either in Edge, I'm either in Chrome, right? You can't mix and match those. Sets was coming, so you could mix and match most, not all, but most applications. It would work with Microsoft applications first, and then maybe third parties could take advantage of it. The most recent build, Sets, is gone. So, and it doesn't look like it's coming back, at least in this build. So if you've been following that, I was looking forward to it because I was hoping in the next build, I'd love to set up sets of things for podcasting that I could save.
Right.
And then one click, it opens everything and I'm done there. So if you're following Microsoft at all and you're hoping for sets, the new Redstone 5 build doesn't really have much in it. That's new. So that'll come along. I'm also wondering, there's been a lot of complaining about the current version, 18.03 of Windows, that you probably have by now if you have Windows. There's a lot of complaints, and it's not working. It's breaking for people. I have not heard a lot from our community. So either you haven't upgraded or you haven't had any problems. But Mike, have you had any Windows problems lately with your upgrades?
No, all my machines just had an update today. Not sure which one it was. I should have looked at which one it was. See what I'm running on my computer. So version 17.03 for my work Windows 10 computer.
Okay. Yeah. So you're a year behind on updates.
Okay.
Not security updates are loading, but right. you're not getting
Yep, and these are just rolled out by the company, obviously. Mm-hmm. So control there.
Pretty standard. It's pretty standard. Microsoft's trying to get everybody to 18 months. So in theory, your IT would need to update that in the next 6 months to move you on to the next version. We've rolled out, I think at Gallup, we're on 18.03. So we're on the current version. I haven't had any issues with it. Seems to be working fine. Although now that I say that, Outlook, when you minimize Outlook, it auto closes. Not sure that's a great feature.
No.
No.
Well, and Emily, so I saw this because Emily says the Skype upgrade is messing with a lot of podcasters because they took away the ability to choose which mic to use. I thought that was maybe just for Mac, but no, it's for Windows too.
It is. It's for the new Windows piece.
Get why.
You know what? This is why I don't rely on Skype, because it breaks way more often than Hangouts do. I mean, Hangouts have its issue, but Skype just, I don't know. I just, as a podcaster, you can't. They are monkeying with so much stuff at Microsoft right now. And I don't know why. There's stuff that worked. Like, just leave it.
Yeah.
Stop screwing with it. But they keep messing around with it. So, you know, who knows? I don't know. I would just say, I throw that out there, just a little news this week. That was a big removal. We're about halfway through that Redstone 5 build. So in the fall, we'll get a brand new build. Who knows what that reliability will be. But if you hadn't heard, for me, I was looking forward to sets, and they are gone. Mike, you mentioned iOS a little bit earlier. Tell me a little bit. Let's talk the other side of the house. What's going on the iOS side?
Yeah, so they had their Worldwide Developers Conference, WWDC, not too long ago. So they announced, obviously, iOS 12 is going to be the new iOS version. And then for Mac, you've got Mojave. So the two updates for there. And Apple recently has been doing their public beta program. So you can sign up to be part of the public beta, and anyone can sign up. And then you can, it's kind of like being in the fast ring for Microsoft, right? You're going to get these updates ahead of time. So just today, I got all my devices onto beta, my phone, my watch, and my computer. I wasn't too worried about any of those items. If I needed to revert and go back, it's not that big of a deal. You know, I'm not doing anything too mission critical on these devices. So it's, well, obviously besides podcasting. So we'll talk about that in a second. But so I've spent only about a day on the new iOS. I can say it's great. I do not have the iPhone 10, so I do not have the face recognition. So I can't use all the new fun stuff with the Animojis, right? There's all that flashy stuff they always like to talk about that's not really a big deal. And this is tends to be my experience, Jim, is I get all excited. I'm like, ooh, iOS 12, shiny, new, cool. And then I install it, and I'm like, okay. Like, what were the updates again? And I have to go look up what is new, because I even after playing with it for a few hours, I'm like, okay, I haven't really noticed anything new yet. It is a little bit snappier, even as a beta. I was surprised. A lot snappier. The keyboard works better. So no big issues. All of my apps still work the same. I have had zero issues with my phone today. I'm a pretty heavy phone user throughout the day. Got Outlook on there. I mean, that's where all my work stuff. So I use it throughout the day. No problems there. Watch, I'm still waiting for the beta released for that. So it's registered in the beta program, but they have not released the watch update yet. But then I did upgrade to Mojave on the computer. and everything was going great until I tried to podcast with Jim. Chrome has issues with audio. And so Jim, as I was trying to fix that, I was doing a little Google search and it seems to be an issue. So it's funny. Chrome has problems with the checkboxes on Mojave. So you can't use a checkbox on the web in Chrome on Mojave. That's just a weird one. Yeah. And then audio clipping in things like Hangouts or if you're doing any other thing through the browser, not working. Okay. The other thing that's odd to me too is, so I tried Safari. When I click on a Hangouts link in Safari, you see the green Hangouts logo and it like minimizes into the bottom of the browser window and then it's just black. There's nothing. So, and you can't, I installed the plugin. I tried everything. So it's also, Safari is not even recognizing Hangouts. I mean, you couldn't even get in, which was very odd. And then Firefox even, so I download Firefox, try to go to Hangouts. It loads for a second and then it takes you to the help page for Hangouts. So not sure. There's just something with Mojave that Hangouts does not like. So not that's going to be interesting. But luckily, so we switched over. After about 40 minutes, I switched over to my work laptop. So this this podcast brought to you by Carson.
Windows.
Yep, good old Windows. And luckily, I've got a pretty brand, you know, I got a brand new machine from work. So it's actually well.
Redstone 5 and Chrome issues. So really? They're having some issues as well. So yeah, funny that both Windows and Mac are having problems.
Well, and I noticed that, so I thought I had found the issue. I went to my activity monitor and I opened it up and the Chrome task is one, and then Chrome Helper is like spiking to 110% CPU usage. So I don't know if this Chrome Helper is causing the problem. It's obviously causing the clipping and the
C920 on that. Do you have a C920? Okay. I wonder if C920 is playing into that a little bit. Because, you know, on Windows, a C920 is just a pig. It takes all available resources at times, and it can if you don't have the drivers just right. So I don't know.
Interesting.
We didn't try it. Do you have a camera on the Mac without?
Yeah, the laptop camera.
Yeah, that might be worth a try. I mean, see, just at least eliminate the camera to see if that's overloading. Because that's what it sounded like to me. Is
like the CPU was overloading.
Yeah. Because we were getting that digital pixelization in your audio and a little bit in your video.
Yeah,
everything was taxed. Well, there you go for the beta program, right?
Yep, write it up. So that's the great part when you do the beta for Apple. It just has it adds a little program to your toolbar, pop it up, add feedback, and you can submit it back.
Yeah. Well, it's good to know. I hadn't put two together when we were troubleshooting this. I had not put two and two together that you've been running the beta there.
Yeah.
I was like, what's the deal? This thing just worked 2 weeks ago, you know, but, and that's one of the drawbacks to running beta on your stuff.
It is. I probably shouldn't have done it on the Mac laptop. Yeah. Wasn't really thinking. But besides this podcast, honestly, that laptop doesn't get used very often because I really gravitate towards the new iPad, and yeah, I really don't use the computer for too much unless I need to input data, and that's only at work. So,
well, it worked great for the show. Actually, it was good. We got it working. We were 20 minutes late, but we got it working, and we had something to talk about. You know, and it kind of fit nicely in with what was going on. So no big deals.
Have you noticed that, you know, during this podcast has it stayed HD more than it usually does, or has it been clear?
You're in full HD over here on the
recording. Yeah, am I usually to you on my Mac?
I don't know if I look enough. I've gotten pretty laxed when we podcast. I haven't been watching. But
interesting.
It's pretty good tonight. Works. I don't know, chat room. How's Mike look out there? Has he been
better or worse?
Solid for you guys? Have we been?
It looks skinnier. I've been working out too.
Nice. Yeah, not me. That's not for sure. Well, no, I've been working a ton with the interns. Good stuff. Mike, you know, back in the day, a couple years ago, Mark Zuckerberg put a piece of tape over his camera. Just ridiculous, by the way. But he put a piece of tape over his camera, and that sparked a whole new wave of people covering up their cameras. I saw this the other day. Yeah, somebody else was doing it. And I was like, do you, well, let me say this. So Targus sent me, you know, these guys right here, sent me a backpack to try out. And I've been messing with it, but I was digging in it the other day and they were kind enough to send me some gadgets. One of the gadgets that was in there, they were buried in the bottom. It was kind of cool. I think they were checking to see if I was actually looking at it.
There you go.
But one's a hacky sack, right? How long has it been?
I haven't played with a hacky sack in forever.
A hacky sack.
Yeah.
So for those that don't know what a hacky sack is, this is a game we used to stand around in a circle and you would kick this ball with your feet up in the air. Very popular for a while, Hacky Sack. But they also sent me. They make the Spy Guard, right, for your PC. I've been tempted to throw it on mine just because. But I don't know. What do you think? Like,
they're perfect.
Do we need to do this though? But do we need to do this?
I don't think you need to. It just gives you peace of mind. Yeah, I love those. So that exact kind is what I used on my, when I worked at KPMG. Someone in the office had one, and all of a sudden everyone in the Omaha office wanted one. So we got a bunch of them, put them on there. And for people who are listening to the audio, it's a little piece of plastic. It's a little rectangle. It's a piece of plastic within a square of plastic. So you stick it on and you can just slide it open, slide it closed, and it's super thin. So it's meant for like a laptop screen too. So you can still close the laptop all the way. But yeah, just slide it open when you want it, slide it closed when you don't. I like them. I think they're kind of cool. Peace of mind.
Yeah, I thought it was.
I don't know if they're necessary, but.
I thought it was an overreaction, to be honest with you. You know, the Bitdefender software that I use has a function on it that you can turn on, and it will give you a warning. A pop-up, if your camera is being used, it'll pop up a warning. It says, hey, is that you using the camera? And I had turned that on for a while. It got kind of annoying, so I turned it off. Because I don't know. I guess they can hack your camera and leave the light off. Like, if they're good enough to hack your camera,
they can probably
shut the light off in the process. Right. So I don't know. Well, in the chat room, some are saying, other Jim says, when the X-Files came back, Mulder had a camera taped over. And then Mark Robson says he has a Spy Guard on his laptop. My nephew was hacked through his webcam. Yeah, I know it happens. Yeah. I know it happens. But
so this actually leads to a very interesting thing I just saw that I thought was very, very cool. So when I'm looking into SimpliSafe, SimpliSafe offers cameras. So you can do cameras to them as well. And I'm like, well, I don't need the camera because I already have my cameras, but the pack I had came with one. So I was just looking them up. They've done a very cool thing. So obviously SimpliSafe is a full security system. So think of, you have the keypad by your door, you arm it when you leave. And then when you come home, you put it in a home mode where just the perimeter is locked down. So the way their cameras work though, is their cameras have, just like what you showed there, they have a physical steel curtain that can close and open, but it can be closed and opened through the actual camera software. So what happens is you have all these cameras in your house and you say, okay, well, when I'm home, I don't want this thing recording me, but your security system knows when you're home because you're in home mode. So you put the security system into home mode. You hear all the shutters click. So they click closed and they're not recording you. You leave the house, you put it in away mode, and those steel shutters automatically on all your cameras will open up and start recording. And they will also start recording. Let's say you are in home mode and someone does break in and the alarm starts going off, the shutters will open up in that instance and start recording as well. I thought it was super cool because that is the one complaint I hear from everyone, is that I don't want cameras inside my home because I don't want them recording me when I'm there. Well, if it's tied to your security system and it has a steel shutter, a physical shutter that's closing, can't beat it.
Yeah. And I can imagine you could do it if this then that on those and say during these times, shut the,
Well, you wouldn't even need to, because it knows when you're home or when you're not home, because you've armed the system or not armed the system.
Yeah, I'm going to cover the camera.
There you go.
I'm covering. Would that work on this camera? That
frames it a little. That
frame is too big for that.
Yep, it is.
This is what they look like. Most people know what they are, right? And it's got sticky on this side. You stick it to your laptop, and then you can open and close that. Maybe give that a try. No, that is really cool, Mike. That's a lot of packaging for a piece of plastic. Yeah. That's super light. Pretty cool though. I don't know. I should be more concerned about that kind of stuff, but I'm just not.
In my neighborhood, I use the neighborhood app so everyone sees, and we've just been having so many people post screenshots from their Ring app, or actually Ring lets you share the video. And if you leave your garage door open, it's almost a guarantee. There must be someone going on every night driving around just looking for open garages. My aunt and uncle live in my neighborhood just up the street. And my uncle he fell asleep on the couch in his living room, woke up to someone in his house just the other week, last week. I mean, just woke up and the guy saw him, didn't know he was on it, and skirt and ran out. And it was just because they had left their garage open. So all that stuff is just, and we live in a fantastic neighborhood in West Omaha, which is usually safe. But it's just there. Our neighborhood is being targeted right now. So I'm like, you know, I just need some peace of mind. For me, it's all peace of mind.
Yeah. No, right on. Right on. No reason not to do it. It's a popular topic right now in technology. So yeah, no reason not to do it. Well, I'll have to think about that.
It's getting cheap, right? The DIY stuff like SimpliSafe.
Oh, yeah.
You install your own stuff and then it's like $14 a month for monitoring. Or you can not have any monitoring now. You can just turn it off and go just with an alarm to scare someone off.
Yeah.
Not bad.
I shouldn't admit this. I probably leave my garage door open more than I should.
Really?
Probably once a month, I come down in the morning and I'm like, oops. And lights, sometimes even with the light on, I live in a great neighborhood. I just don't worry about it. That doesn't mean I shouldn't do it, but.
Well, I feel like crooks are now starting to target the safer neighborhoods.
Well, there's more to lose there. There's more to lose.
There are. It's just my routine. So one of my cameras is in my garage. So if I just open up my camera app, I can see if the garage is open or closed. Just one last little check before I go to bed.
Mark says that he has a Schlage lock that works with Wink to auto lock at night, which I think is a great idea. I actually turn off my lights automatically in the house. If they're still on, it's 12:30, they go off. And that just is one of those kinds of things. If I forget to do it, it shuts them down. So it's a great way to kind of save a little energy, make sure. And then there have been some nights I'm down here and that light's on that and it's 12:30 and I'm like, okay, it's time to go to bed. Like I should not be down here later than 12:30 and getting it done. But it's kind of nice to have it where it just shuts off by itself.
How long do you think before literally almost everything we have is, you know, does have a connection that you can integrate with, you know, Apple Home or Alexa? And you know, I'm thinking about all my TVs in my house that are smart TVs, right? Like they're connected to the internet. They could easily have an integration to Alexa to just turn it off. You know, turn off the, oh shoot, now she's freaking out on me.
Yeah, no, there you go.
Yeah, sorry. But you know, turn it off the TV, turn off, I'm trying to think of all the different things that eventually will probably just be connected at some point.
Mm-hmm.
All garage doors should be at this point.
Yeah, I have an old one. The next, we're putting a new one in, it's going to be connected. And that'll be another thing all set. Yeah. To close if it's not closed by, you know, by 10 o'clock, shut it. Emily says she's learned a few things about me tonight. One, my Wi-Fi password. Technically, I don't use that password anymore. That I leave my camera unblocked. That is true. Always unblocked. If you catch me picking my nose, well, it's probably because you've hacked my router. And third, that I leave the garage door open. Not every night, but.
And then she says, no more drinking for Jim on the show.
No. Pretty soon I'm going to start putting my social security number out there. Oh, it probably already is. So last thing, Mike, as we think about it, we've been doing a little segment every couple weeks, what I'm watching on YouTube. Just because I've spent a ton of time on YouTube recently.
Ooh, I've got a suggestion too.
Good. Yeah. I cannot take my eyes off this volcano coverage from Hawaii. I mean, it is just, it is amazing to me. Well, first of all, we're not going to see another volcanic event like this probably in our lifetime. Like this thing is spewing so much lava. I think the last time we saw something like this was 1924. Last time I checked, neither one of us were around. I mean, I'm old. I'm not that old. And so it gives us this great opportunity. And man, the civil defense channel in Hawaii is amazing. Every day they produce a new video. It's got new shots. It's got updates on what's going on. It's got updates. And you know, that lava channelized, and it's not wiping out as many homes as it did. It wiped out 637 or something like that in the early moments. And then eventually stuff, the edges cool and it just creates a channel. It has created a mile of new property on the end, like on the beach. It's just gone out a mile, which is amazing to me. But yeah, I can't stop watching it. Every night I come home, I'm like, okay, I got to see what's going on in Hawaii. And it's a 10-minute civil defense message. They're updating, you know, the people of the island. And it's just been, man, it has been riveting to see the coverage of this lava just crushing the island. I mean, but it's powerful and it's cool. So that's kind of what I've been watching on YouTube.
Mike, yeah, you told me about that 2 weeks ago, and I still need to sit down and actually watch it.
Yeah, it's incredible. Of course, you know, you start watching those things, and then it starts loading up more of them, right? Mm-hmm. You know, kind of on YouTube. It has been that way. What about you? What have you been watching on YouTube?
So the channel, I have one channel that I've just been loving. I think the guy needs more credit. Crosstalk Solutions. So Crosstalk Solutions, this guy I mean, I'm pretty much convinced that I need to start my own ISP, wireless ISP for all my neighbors. So he goes over, he's a huge Ubiquiti guy. So he is covering all of the more industrial Ubiquiti products, right? Like the long range, 3 mile Wi-Fi sort of stuff. And it's so interesting. And he goes through all the details of it. So not only is he testing hardware, he's giving you all the, this is how I would route everything. This is, my subnets that I would set up if I was using customers over here, or if he's talked about people who have barns across their property and connecting the two via a link. He covers phones, free PBX, things like that. So just overall networking, Ubiquiti, Wi-Fi, if you are at all into that, if you just nerd out about that at all, he just went out to LA and did a video on the community Wi-Fi project. I messed that up. It's something like that, where it's a new internet project in LA where they are using wireless technology to essentially provide really cheap internet to these neighborhoods. They find one building that will let them put a tower of, put some antennas up top, and then they will go out and install a receiver antenna at these different people's houses and connect them up, and they'll at least get maybe, 25 down internet for an affordable amount. And they're doing the same thing in Detroit. I've just kind of gotten into this community ISP rabbit hole. And in Detroit, it's very interesting. They actually have a full team of people who do this, and they're working with churches because churches in these neighborhoods are the highest point. So they will go start these churches. They will give the kids jobs. They'll teach them networking. They'll teach them how to physically install this sort of stuff. And essentially it's called like earn a computer. And these kids will end up earning their own computer by working through this stuff. And they're providing internet to a community that does not have it. These communities can't afford internet, and their kids need it though for school. Very cool stuff. I've been really intrigued with community-wide ISPs. And I've just thought, Cox is in our neighborhood. No one needs it. But I'm like, how cool would it be just to have, everyone just runs through me, and mm-hmm. you don't have to worry about mm-hmm. Cox or CenturyLink, and I'll deal with it.
I love the mission there. And, we're really trying to work with underprivileged students and figuring out how to make software developers out of them.
Right.
And give them some opportunities. And I think in some of those neighborhoods, like you mentioned in Detroit, that stuff makes a difference.
Oh, it
many
totally does.
Of them, many of them don't have access,
And the reason this is starting to become a viable option is because the price on the Wi-Fi devices is coming down a lot. We're starting to see enterprise gear now for the prices that we would sometimes even pay for consumer level gear. You can get a multi-point access point on the top that can go miles for, $300, $400. That stuff was extremely expensive before. And now and especially the UI for it is much more user-friendly. You might need to know a little bit of advanced stuff, but, if you're using Ubiquiti or there's some other brands out there, it makes it easier to set up so that it's a possibility now, I guess, for these projects to mm-hmm. exist without going to someone like a huge ISP that has the technical skills to go out and do it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think it's a good cause. I think if you get an opportunity to do something like that, you should help with community Wi-Fi or getting, Wi-Fi available in some of those neighborhoods where they don't have it. Kids need it.
Yeah.
And we're not doing them any favors by them not having it.
That was the thing. So the guy at the church was like, they earn this computer and they go home and they're still coming back here. I'm like, well, why are you coming here? It's like, well, I have the computer, but I don't have internet. And like, if we give them a computer without internet, essentially we're just giving them a typewriter, like a fancy typewriter, because that's really all they can do.
No, right on. Huge need. Huge need. It's one of those things. I went to an event yesterday to speak at, and these are kids from, from the inner city, from the north, central, south parts of Omaha. And they had gotten there by the bus. And I was like, so I asked them, like, seriously, you guys get on a bus every morning? I didn't think kids would do this anymore. These are high schoolers. Like, you guys get on a bus every morning and come down here and spend the day down here and then take the bus home? They're like, yeah. Now, the program pays for the bus pass. They buy them a month-long bus pass to be able to make it. And there's a little stipend if these kids show up and stay. They make a stipend, $5 a day or something. Nah, it's more than that. $10 a day, I think, is what it is for them. Little incentive, $50 a week to kind of show up is a pretty good incentive. The kids were super engaged when I was talking to him, and I thought, well, maybe for my Saturday morning program, if I can get him, if I can buy him a bus pass and they can get down there, maybe I got a shot at this. Yeah. So we're starting to think about that. Thought about Uber too, where they can call like on Saturday mornings, they could call an Uber and somebody come pick them up, bring them down. It's transportation is an issue. Wi-Fi is an issue. It's not just opportunities. We can't just give them a computer and be like, okay, this is great. You guys are ready to go. No, we got to support them a lot more than that to make sure they're getting all the way to a spot where they can actually use it. So
I agree.
We got that's one interesting concept with, sorry, I'm going to go off on a tangent with Uber. So yeah. I wonder if they have the ability. I'm just thinking of companies around here who, you know, oh, we're paying for someone to fly in. They're coming in from Omaha. Essentially, why a company account and you give them the promo code, they can just still use their own personal Uber account, enter the promo code, and it gets charged to their company.
Yeah.
Why is that doesn't exist yet?
Yeah. And it'd be great if you could have certain, like, okay, it works in these areas, or it will allow up to this much usage, right? Because you got to kind of protect yourself.
Right.
So it's Mark says in the chat room, I think he's heard of a program that uses school buses with Wi-Fi, parks them in the neighborhoods for kids to get access.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, that is a good idea. But they don't, you know, oftentimes they have it at school. When they really need it is on the weekends.
Yeah.
You know, when they have that time. So, well, there you go. It's some opportunities. We got a little serious there at the end. You know?
Yeah, well, it's cool. You know, yeah. I love the community Wi-Fi stuff. We just talk about, you know, what I'm into, and that's all I've been watching on YouTube. Community Wi-Fi. How do we?
Well,
do
not just that, but like you mentioned, the ability to give to we forget, especially in the United States, where public transportation is so bad that we forget there are students that are literally locked.
Right. Well, especially in a place like Omaha. Omaha is one of the worst cities for public transit. Almost everyone has a car.
Right.
I mean, there's really no way to get around without a car. If you don't live closer to downtown, I mean, just the bus system is terrible. And there's no, it's not a biker friendly city. It's getting better, but it's still not there. You really have to have a car. So you're right. All these, if you don't have a car, there is not a good way to get around.
No. The weather's terrible. It's either raining, cold, it's hot. Like we have a few good days a year, but otherwise the weather's pretty extreme. So, well, some good opportunities. I know if you're listening to this and you're working in that space, thanks for doing that. Super important that we figure out some ways to get these students educated and such. Mike, good to have you back. Stay around for some crypto. I got some updates. If you're joining us on the burst bandwagon, so to speak, we got some updates that's available on that. Don't forget, if you want to listen to the crypto show, it's available on Patreon probably right now. If you're listening to this other recorded version of it, head out to theaverageguy.tv/Patreon. We'll see how long the post show goes, but we'll give you some updates. If you want to contact me, you got an idea, something you want us to talk about on the show, by the way, the format fits that really, really well now. We can't guarantee we'll talk about it very well, but we will talk about it. Send me an email, jim@theaverageguy.tv. I'll add it to the show notes and we'll see if we can get that in. Earlier in the week is better, by the way. So it gives us a little time to do some research. If you're wondering, like, where do I go to the Facebook group? Because I'm automatically grabbing them from the Facebook group each week. Facebook.com/groups/theaverageguy is what gets you there. It's pretty easy to find if you want to do it. Don't forget the theaverageguy.tv platform, both media and web hosting, powered by Maple Grove Partners. Get secure, reliable, high-speed hosting from people that you know and you trust. Of course, you know that's Christian. For more information and for plans that start for as little as $10 a month, maplegrovepartners.com. And then don't forget, we've got the app. If you're listening to the show on the road, on a train, on a plane, any of those kinds of things, best way to get it, best way to stream it. Oh, a dozen of you guys do this every single week. You can download it for free. Head out to theaverageguy.tv and you can get them available there as well. Apparently, the t-shirts are still selling. Emily showed up in my Twitter feed the other day. Emily has a little problem with podcasting t-shirts. Let's just put it that way. If you follow Emily on Twitter, you will see she did a whole story with podcasting t-shirts on. And so Home Gadget Geeks made that. They're still available. If you want to go out there, theaverageguy.tv/shirt. If you want to pick that up, I keep saying we'll get a new shirt out there for you guys to buy. Maybe at the end of the summer, things are pretty busy here. We'll get something set up. But if you want to get theaverageguy.tv, or the Home Gadget Geeks t-shirt, head out to theaverageguy.tv/shirt. And Mike, we've been crushing the HelloFresh. It just never gets old. Like, it's super awesome. I even made a mistake I think you were gone for this. I forgot to skip the order. So we got a box with two meals for two people, and there's three of us, and we're like, oh, what are we going to do? We crushed it.
Have you been giving your promo code out for that?
I haven't been putting it out, but if people want to do HelloFresh, just contact me. Send me an email, jim@theaverageguy.tv, and I'll send you, because I get new ones all the time. So rather than put that one out, I get these new deals all the time. So if you want to do HelloFresh, super cool. I mean, I'm just really so much so my daughter has, like, this has been the summer. Sammy, my she's a freshman, going to be sophomore next year. She knew how to cook, but tonight she did this awesome spaghetti and veggies from scratch, and it was all the stuff she had learned.
Do HelloFresh.
Make it HelloFresh.
Very nice.
And we're kind of starting to switch over on some of those, and it's given us some new recipes to try. So if you haven't tried it out, if you're struggling with a little bit, if it's available in your area, send me an email, jim@theaverageguy.tv. I've got some coupons for free stuff. Do not pay full price for sure. Got some coupons for some free stuff that will get you on there. We are live every Thursday, 8 p.m. Central, 9 Eastern, out here at theaverageguy.tv/live. We'll do some crypto in the post show. With that, we'll say goodbye, everybody.